Holy Spirit, we just thank you for being in our midst tonight. We thank you for bringing the anointings that you want for each and every one of us. We thank you that you're in full and complete control. As we go forth tonight with the teaching, we pray that everyone's eyes of the Spirit will be open to see the things that you're doing. We pray, Father, that our ears will be opened to hear your voice and to be able to move in the time and the season that you want us to move. Father, we just rejoice with you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I feel the Lord wanted me to talk about a season to love. And this is something that he's going to be bringing. He is bringing forth. But the purpose of it is for us to be known as his children. And when he's doing that, there's going to be a line of demarcation that's going to be set. Those who are light and those who are dark will be known. I heard the Lord say, my body is coming into one of the greatest seasons of all time, the season to love. This season will be filled with the miraculous. Many signs, wonders, and miracles will take place, but they will come forth in unexpected ways. My body is looking for me to move in one way, but I am coming in another way that they will not expect. They still think that I have to come in a certain way, form, and fashion. They still don't understand that I see everything that is done in the dark. I will expose it and bring it out for all to see. I am doing this because I want my people to know that I care. I want my people to know that I am not limited by their religious rites and rituals. I have always been motivated by love. I will carry out my plan of love, and many will come to my footstool because of my love. It's about to become dangerous in a way, but my grace will abound and be sufficient for many. Don't try to put me in a box. I am all-powerful and all-knowing, and nothing will stop this next move that I am bringing about. The coming wave of love will have many turn to me with weeping and wailing. They will pour out their hearts, and I will receive them, says the Lord. They will come with great weepings and repentance from the very depths of their hearts. I think that's significant because there really has not been true repentance in the body of Christ over these past 20, 30 years. There's been speeches and prayers and different things, and it really didn't come from the heart. But the things that God is doing now, the way he's going to be moving by his Spirit, these people that are coming into the kingdom now are going to know that they know that they're saved. And we have to be prepared for that. We have to be prepared to receive them in love and to show them the way. John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. This love thing that God is doing is very, very important right now. It really is going to be that dividing line, and it's going to show who you are and where you came from. This new era that God is bringing will be an era of love, and it's going to hit the body of Christ. And because it's going to hit the body of Christ, it's going to go out into all the worlds. Some people have a misunderstanding about love. Their version of love gives them permission to do what they want, live how they want, and still make the claim that God's kingdom is in them. This is not going to happen anymore. This will no longer be acceptable in this new era. Many people in the body of Christ are seeking for miracles, signs, and wonders. This isn't bad, but it is leaving the body of Christ in a dangerous spot. The danger comes from this notion: miracles are a sign that the person has God's approval. And a lot of people in the body of Christ are looking at people who are being used to perform deliverance, who are being used to prophesy, and they're not looking at the fruit of these people, and they're just accepting everything that they're doing. They're coming up with new doctrines, they're coming up with new teachings, and all of these things are contrary to the Word of God. And that day is over with, because God is going to show the body of Christ who really is for him and who really is against him. We have learned and seen that miracles can be done by the demonic realm, and they can be performed by someone whom the Spirit of God has left. That's a scary thought and a scary notion, because so many people have left God. But because it's a habit, it's a pattern, it's a business, they're making money off people, whatever the reason, they're still up there. They're still associating with the church. They're still leading people in the church. But God's anointing has left them. This is where the danger comes in, because people are still following these people. And with this new wave of love that God is bringing, he's bringing this so that we can see who's true and who's not. You should never take the truth that God is using you to prophesy, heal the sick, raise the dead, lead someone to salvation, etc., etc., as a sign that God is still with you. At all times, you should be maintaining your relationship with God. It's an individual, personal walk. You should always be in constant communication with God. You should always be in constant fellowship with him, because the enemy is out there roaring like a lion. He's out there bringing his forms of deception, his forms of mistruth, and God does not want you to fall. Many, many prophets have said that we're entering into the time of the great apostasy. That's the time where people are leaving the faith. They're leaving God, and they're taking on these strong, strange doctrines. And God doesn't want us to be a part of that. He wants us to be aware of it so that we know and can help these people out of this dangerous spot. He wants us to be able to take the truth to them first, because we are in him, we're in love with him. And then also to be able to help them so that they don't fall into the very pits of hell. It's simple, but it's very, very real right now, because of the ability for lying, signs, and wonders to be performed. And we have a responsibility to make sure that we're walking in true discernment at all times. Here's an example out of the Bible. This is Exodus chapter 7, verses 8 to 13. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, 'Show a miracle for yourselves,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent.' So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent." Here's the demonic realm. "But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt also did in like manner with their enchantments." That ought to really open up your eyes. They did so in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. You need to understand this because many lying signs and wonders will be performed in this hour by people who appear to have good spirits, but really they are devils in disguise. You need to understand this because many lying signs and wonders will be performed in this hour by people who appear to have good spirits, but really they are lying, they are devils in disguise. The real true anointing will only manifest in pure love. And this is why it's so important, and God has always been telling us to make sure that we're walking in love. He's always corrected us when we get out of love. Return to your first love. Get back in love. Many people don't have a real anointing. They are operating off of someone else's anointing, a demonic anointing, or charisma. And we have to be aware of this. You have to be self-aware of yourself. Are you really working in the anointing? Or are you working off of someone else's anointing? Or are you working off of your charm? If you're working off of anything other than the anointing, you need to cry out to God so that you get an anointing, because that is the only thing that is going to set people free. That is the only thing that is going to help people. And all of us have gotten into God. He's given us prophetic words, and our motive is to help people, but sometimes we want to rush the process. We want to rush and be in a hurry. When God's trying to develop character inside of us, he's trying to get the junk out of us so that we have a pure anointing that goes into the people and it doesn't destroy them. There is there's just a move right now of people who receive some type of anointing and they instantly start laying hands on people, but they're unclean. They're impure. And you have to be self-aware enough about yourself to know whether you should be doing that. We don't want to discourage anybody from using their giftings. We don't want to discourage anybody from allowing God's anointing to be in it, to be used. But at the same time, you have to use wisdom. You have to use wisdom and discernment and ask God, do you really want me to be doing this in this hour? Because what you do affects so many people. If you put a dirty anointing in somebody else, they're putting it in somebody else. They're putting it in somebody else. And then nobody's clean. Nobody's pure. But see, this season that God is bringing for love, he's taking all of that out of us. Because he's faithful, he's good, he's dropping his love in us. It's cleaning us up so that we can do his works in purity and in truth. Without the real anointing, you won't do anything that will last for anyone. I can't tell you the amount of times that we've heard people say, well, I just manifested the spirit and I just laid hands on somebody and I made them feel good. You're not doing anything. The real anointing will manifest through you, but you don't have no control over that. You can't deliver anybody. You can't prophesy over anybody. You can't heal anybody in your own flesh. God will use you to do those things, and you always have to keep that in perspective, because if you don't, you're going to start working in pride, and the devil will come into you, and he will work some miracles through you. He really will, because he wants to be seen. He wants to be glorified, and at all times, we have to be aware of what spirit is operating through us and making sure that the true spirit of God is coming out and touching God's people. It's a grievous thing when you really think about how serious prophesying over somebody is, because the things that you say can help them or it can wound them beyond repair. And so many people have been wounded by the prophetic because somebody said, well, I don't want to tell them that I'm not right, and they're coming to me looking for a word, So I have to say something. Or I don't want to tell them I'm not hearing anything at all. And they're here and they have a need. And I feel compassion for them. So I'm just going to say a few things. We have to have integrity. And we can't do those things. If you're not hearing from God, if you know you're not right, you should be the first one to say, hey, I'm having some issues right now. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so is in good standing with God. Here's their phone number. Talk to them. This church is in good standing with God. Go there. Go there. That brings a level of integrity that keeps you pure, that keeps that person pure. And God's able to use you, clean you up down the road. And then there's respect and there's trust that's established. You know, we have God's people in our hands. And that's such an important thing that we understand. And we have to have enough love for God's people because we have to understand that God trusts us with his people. That's nothing to be taken lightly. You know, it's not a flippant thing. Oh, I'm just going to minister here, there, and everywhere. No, you're going to be held accountable for things that you do to people. You're going to be held accountable for the words or the healings or whatever that you manifested that was not in the Spirit of God. You don't want that on your head. You know, the other scary scripture that's in the Word, I don't have it up here tonight, but Lord, Lord, I prophesied. Lord, Lord, I cast out devils. Lord, Lord, you know, I did all of these wonderful things. And God says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. I have no idea who you are. And we're in a time period, in a day and an hour, again, where everybody's wanting miracles, they're wanting signs. Don't be in a hurry to do that. Don't be in a hurry. If God's not using you to do that at this season, if he's not using you to do a certain thing and you really want to do it, don't be upset with God. Be thankful that he's cleaning you up. He's taking you through his process because he really is protecting you and keeping you safe from not doing anything to hurt his people. We are in such dangerous times right now. I just can't overstate that. We just are. Without the real anointing, you won't do anything that will last for anyone. You will be empty and void, and the people that you are ministering to will be empty and void as well. This season of love that God is bringing us into is to draw a distinction between the real anointing and the counterfeit anointing. You have never been able to have it both ways. And for some reason, I don't understand why people think that you can live halfway in and halfway out, but you've never been able to do that. You cannot walk in darkness and move in God's light. You have just failed to realize that God's grace covered you and manifested because the person had a need and God wanted to meet it. There have been occasions, and you've heard Pastor Barbara say this, where she knew she wasn't right. She knew that, but this person had a need and God used her. She repented, and all of us do this. God, I'm this person really has a need and God opens a door for grace. But there's not a deception of, okay, whew, I got away with that one. There's a humility. There's a humbleness. God, keep me right. God, keep me pure. Keep me in right standing because I don't want to be not ready when you need to use me. You're just the vessel that God is using, but that's it. It's not anything special about you. You just yielded and the Holy Spirit could flow. You have to keep this in perspective. John chapter 10, verses 22 to 30. The shepherd knows his sheep. And I think this is key because we have to start recognizing ourselves when the anointing is moving and when it's not moving, and when God is speaking and when he's not speaking. Because so many people don't know, they don't have that discernment. And we need to be in the Spirit enough to where we can tell this. And this is why I put this scripture in here. Now, it was the feast of the dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." This is important. Jesus said this, the works that he does in his Father's name, it tells who he is. It tells what his character is. It tells that he's a person of love. Verse 26, "But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you." That's the fundamental problem right now in the body of Christ. Some of them are just not saved. And because they're not saved, they can't believe that God is using them. They can't believe that God will use them, clean them up, do the things that need to be done. And they can't believe the minister that's telling them, "Hey, you have to live holy." "No, I can't do that." You have to. It's a part of your calling. You have to do this. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." This is the connection in the spirit that you always want to have. Not to your friends, not to your best prayer partner, but to the spirit. You want to have that connection in the spirit because that is going to help you. There are going to be times when you're not going to be able to get to your buddy or your prayer partner or your pastor or whatever that you've been leaning upon. And we have got to start leaning upon the Spirit of God because he is going to be the one who's going to tell us what to do and how to do it. Verse 28, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Are you one with the Father? Are you one with the Holy Spirit? This is the unity of the Spirit that we have to walk in at all times. Because there are going to be so many miracles that will be occurring in this next season, there is going to have to be a way for the world to distinguish the real from the fake. They have these TV shows that are on right now, and people are levitating. People are moving objects from one place to another. They're healing people. They're giving them prophetic words. The world is seeing miracles. They're hungering for miracles. This person is looking like a good person. Off screen, they're evil. They're committing adulteries. Just everything that you can think of that's bad. But they're performing miracles. It's just like the time of Moses. It's, you know, it's the same thing. Nothing is new under the sun. This will occur because of the love that will be manifested on each and every one. What's going to occur is the distinguishing the real from the fake. And you, as a member of the body of Christ, as a child of God, you need to have that level of discernment too. You need to be able to look at people and see, are they operating out of the Spirit of God, or are they manifesting a demonic anointing? You have to know that, because you need to be able to say, don't follow this person. They're not right. This is not judging. This is for the protection of everybody else in the body of Christ. Jesus and the Father were one, and the only way that they could be one is by love. They were connected by the love of God. How do you know if you have love? Let's look at Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. Greatness is serving. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, We are able. Verse 23. So he said to them, You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased, and with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The question was, how do you know if you have love? If you don't have this standard operating in your life, you don't have love. If you're not willing to serve and to lay your life down for your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, you really don't have love. And this is the thing that's going to distinguish you from the false people who are manifesting an anointing and the true people who are manifesting an anointing. So many in the body of Christ want to be great. So many want to be served. And this attitude shows that they do not have love. It shows that they do not have Christ. Christ's attitude was that he came to serve. He came to give to the people. This is love. You know how real this gets when the demands of life start coming upon you and you see how much of a love vessel you are not. Let that sink in. You know how real this gets when the demands of life start coming upon you and you see how much of a love vessel you are not. You really learn how much of a servant you are not. It's funny. People can serve when they are well rested. They are eating really good. They have friends. And they're healthy. What happens when you're not getting rest? When you're not eating really good? When your friends turn on you? And your body starts breaking down? Do you still have love? How well are you serving then? Can you serve without complaining? Just some things for you to think about because it matters. When you get under stress, you have your own situations going on, and you need a breakthrough yourself, are you going to stop serving? These are some questions that we all have to face and we all have to answer. Each and every day. This is real life. Are you going to become bitter internally and think it's not fair? Someone should be taking care of me. Jesus never did this. And this is the level of love that we're going to have to walk in. The people are going to start coming into the body of Christ by the droves. And you're not going to have time to be concerned about your needs, your wants, the things that you didn't get, the things that you thought were unfair. They're going to need to be ministered to. And we've got to get in the mindset of love. We have to. We don't have a choice. This is real life here. This is real ministry here. This shows what kind of love you have. When it came to Jesus and the Father, they worked well together. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 24. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by a boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. That's a very, very strange word. Mark chapter 3, verse 7 to 12. But Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and Jerusalem, and Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon. A great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. I don't know if you've ever been thronged. This is a good picture of what a thronging is about. You're constantly under pressure. You're constantly having to meet the needs of the people that are out there that God wants you to meet. If you don't have true love, you will hate. You will hate the people that you're supposed to be ministering to. There are ministers in the body of Christ who don't want to do whatever for their sheep. They just don't. They need to quit. They need to get out of it, because they're not doing God any good at all. Jesus was thronged. He also knew how to take time for himself, so don't get that backwards. Don't get that messed up. But he also made himself available to be love. If you don't have true love, you will hate the people that you're supposed to be ministering to. Think about some of the celebrities out there. They didn't expect to get the treatment that they did, but after a while, they grew to resent it. How many in the body of Christ will be ready? Will be ready to minister to the multitudes that will come into the house of God? How many will grow to resent it because they don't have love? How many in the body of Christ will be jealous and angry when the new people come in because they are taking the pastor's time? This is happening today. This is happening now. Love is the key to not manifesting a wrong spirit. You cannot serve God and have these kinds of attitudes going on the inside of you. It just really shows that you're not of God. Love is important. Without it, you may as well not be serving God. This season of love that God is bringing is going to cause the remnant to be seen for who they are, vessels of love. They will be seen by those who have deep spiritual needs, and they will know that they can be trusted. They will know that God is in them because of the love that they see and perceive. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. We really have to come to a deep understanding of this now. We must tie every teaching, every anointing that we have ever received to the source. And God is the source. God is love. The source is love. If you don't have love, your miracles, your deliverance ministry, your prophesying, whatever it is that you're doing, means nothing. 1 John 4, 1-16. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Here's your scripture that you can look at and say, I need to judge the fruits. Right here, John. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Test the spirits. We're too willing to accept people's false anointings. Test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. Have you ever tried to tell a worldly person something about the Spirit of God, and you just kind of look at you like, huh, really? Where'd you get that from? They can't understand the things of God. But if you're talking to a spirit-filled person, instantly it clicks, it gels with their spirit, they know, and more revelation will come to the both of you. It's because you're both of God, and you're both flowing in God's presence and His Spirit. Verse 6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There is a spirit of error. You've got to understand that. There is a spirit of error that is at work. And it's at work in the church. Witches and warlocks come into the church often. And they spread their error. And they're bringing confusion. They're bringing deception. And they're causing many people to not understand what's going on and to miss God because they're walking in error. But we're not testing the spirits. And we've got to test the spirits. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Verse 10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, in God in him. You see why this is the test for the miracles? This is the test for your deliverance ministry, the test for your prophetic word. If the person that's delivering that to you is not walking in love, they don't have the true Spirit of God in them, and they are going to mess you up. In this season of love, God is showing the world who really is his. And I think this is exciting because the truth is going to be known for who's God's and who's not. When we look at 1 John 4, it gives us criteria that others will see in us if we have love. And as they see love in us, they will know that, one, God is real. Two, God is love. Three, God really cares about them. Four, the people are doing the fake miracles are not from God. Five, God made a way of escape for all of us from the degradation of sin. Six, you are a child of God. You are a part of his family. Seven, God abides inside of you. Think about what they said about Jesus when he was casting spirits out of his people. Matthew 12, verse 22 to 30. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, the religious people, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Verse 25, but Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So all of the other miracles that are being done in the world are not from God. And God has given us a way to be identified with him. When you look at what Jesus just said here in Matthew, he was telling us that when we're in love, we are with him. If we're not in love, we're in a spirit world against him. We're against what he's doing. We're against what he's saying. It's important. This love walk is important. This season of love that God is doing is very important. It's his love. His love is what gives us the ability for the world to know that we're his. Love being manifested in us, through us, by God is the most redemptive act that ever can be. Love being manifested in us, through us, by God is the most redemptive act that ever can be. Love is not an emotion. It's the fuel that should run everything that we do. Reason why I'm saying it's not an emotion, there are going to be times when you don't feel like loving. You just don't feel it. But when you get in the spirit, because it's inside of you, it's a part of you, it's part of God's nature, it just comes out. It just comes out. So you can be in a place where I don't feel like doing this, but you tap into that love. You tap into that resource, the God that's inside of you. Next thing you know, you're doing it. You're doing it, and the person is experiencing some realm or some level of freedom. Love points to God every time, every way. Love points to God every time, every way. You cannot get around this. Hate is always of the devil. If there's some type of envy, strife, discord, whatever it is, bitterness, that's not God. That's not God's spirit. That's not God's character. And it will bring destruction. But love always points to God, and it always brings freedom. John 13, 31 to 35. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If you have love, God will be glorified in you. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Bible says that many false prophets will come on the scene. They are here, and many are being deceived by them in this hour. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Do you see that? Satan is giving power, signs, and lying wonders. Let that settle in. So what do his children have? Power, signs, and lying wonders. And they will manifest those things in order to gain people to his side. This is the real stuff that the church has got to start coming to grips with. The devil has power. The devil has miracles that he wants to perform, and he's performing them because he's taking people to hell with him. His children are taking people to hell with him. The demons that we get out of people, they know that they're bound and they're going into the lake of fire, but they don't care. They just want to destroy for the sake of destroying. That's their whole purpose. That's their whole calling in eternity, in existence. They fell. They know they fell. They know they're going to be in the lake of fire. And they're trying to take as many people with them as they can. It's just what they want to do. And they will trick, deceive, do whatever they can to keep people in deception. It's not love. That's hate. Verse 10. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. This is running so rampant right now, strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. As this season of love comes, God isn't doing this for us. He is doing this because he is manifesting his presence, and he wants people to know that he is truly real. He's doing this because he wants his agenda to go forth. He's bringing salvation to this land, to this earth, and he's manifesting it because it's time for people to reach the throne room of heaven. Last scripture, Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38, the compassion of Jesus. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Are you going to be a laborer that God can use in this season? Are you going to carry the love inside of you so that you can reach his people? In closing, my body is coming into one of the greatest seasons of all time, the season to love. This season will be filled with the miraculous, many signs, wonders, and miracles that will take place, but they will come forth in unexpected ways. My body is looking for me to move in one way, but I am coming in another way that they will not expect. They still think that I have to come in a certain way, form, and fashion. They still don't understand that I see everything that is done in the dark. The deception that is going on purposely, he sees it. He knows it. The people who are being tricked and deceived, he wants us to get them out of that deception. He wants us to have enough love inside of us that we rescue them and get them out of that dark place. There's a scripture that says we save some even from the very fires of hell. I'm not quoting it right, but you know what I'm talking about. And we really have to do our work, our due diligence, carry that love so deep. As dumb as they are, as dumb as they act, you still have to go get them. We still have to do our part. They still don't understand that I see everything that is done in the dark. I will expose it and bring it out for all to see. I am doing this because I want my people to know that I care. Do you realize how many people still don't know that God cares about them, God loves them, that God has made a way of escape for them? There's still so many people who don't believe that. And we have to carry God's love so that they can see it. I want my people to know that I am not limited by their religious rites and rituals. I have always been motivated by love. I will carry out my plan of love, and many will come to my footstool because of my love. It's about to become dangerous in a way, but my grace will abound to be sufficient for many. Don't try to put me in a box. I am all-powerful and all-knowing, and nothing will stop this next move that I am bringing about. That is such a powerful statement, because sometimes it looks like the devil's winning. Sometimes it looks like he's defeated the church. But God is not going to be mocked, and this move that he's been promising is not going to be stopped. 2007, God told Pastor Barber that the glory was coming. Don't grow weary in telling the body of Christ that is coming. That's a long time. 13 years. It's a long time to be saying the same thing and to know inside of your knower that is true. It's coming. The coming wave of love will have many turn to me with weeping and wailing. They will pour out their hearts and I will receive them, says the Lord. They will come with great weepings and repentance from the very depths of their hearts. God is putting his seal upon his true servants, and that seal is love. Father, I thank you for this teaching. I thank you for the word. I thank you for your love that you're shedding abroad in your people and all across the world. I pray, Father, tonight, that as you move and as you minister in here, that you would touch each and every one of us in a deeper way with your love. The altar's open now for anyone who wants to receive a new level of love. If you want to walk away from any hate that you have, you want to walk away from any criticalness, any judgmentalness, any just complete misunderstanding of God's love and his ways. God wants to drop himself upon you tonight and fill you with that love. Let him manifest his love inside of you tonight. Let him seal you.